This is fucking Nick Gage, man. I'm the leader of the MDK gang, Eastern Bloc. Shout out to Nate Hatred, RIP Hate Club. If you ain't listening to Wrestling Cheers, I'm going to send someone to your fucking house. They're going to murder your fucking family right in front of you. So I bet you you better be listening to Wrestling Cheers. It's the fucking God.
Taking your way in the world today. Take everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries. Sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Especially when this is probably gonna be a short episode. This is Wrestling Cheers. We like to talk about things going on in Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we even have interviews along the way. This is a review of AIW's In the Mouth of Madness. I'm your host, Justin Summers, and Wrestling Cheers is brought to you by Midwest Territory. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean. WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose to desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. Like I said, this is a review of AIW's In the Mouth of Madness. And I also said that this is probably going to be a short episode because I've already introduced myself and it's just me. It's a little bit harder to get someone else on this week. A lot of people were busy. And then as I'm recording this, the Guardians and Yankees game started. So instead of bugging a lot of people, I just said, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. So before I get into, you know, any more about the show, the AIW show that I'm reviewing, I kind of want to throw out another plea, kind of like that was on last week's episode, and I'm probably going to throw it in next week too, because I'm only going to have a few weeks that I can do this, where if you go to the show notes, you will find my GoFundMe link, still raising money to get down to San Antonio. If you want, you can also just PayPal me money. I only throw that out there because I've actually had people say, hey, I want to donate, but I just don't want to go through GoFundMe. And that's perfectly understandable. I understand. So I have my personal PayPal that you can send money to. I also do have a Wrestling Cheers one, you know, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com is the PayPal address for that. The only thing is I've hardly used it, and I actually did recently any money that was transferred to my personal PayPal. I did try to like transfer it to the Wrestling Cheers one just to keep it away from a lot of my bills or anything that comes out through PayPal. And because I don't use it, my money is like on hold. So I'm working that whole thing out. But if you want my personal PayPal, that's I'll throw out if you ask. I'm not going to put it here on the podcast itself. It's address that I only use for signing up for things, so it's not one that I keep public. So I think right now I'm just a little shy grand total of $500, so I'm about a third of a way there, and I gotta sell, and I gotta do that shit soon. And actually I gotta like find a way to create like a little pile of stuff that I know I want to sell, because like I know I got two pop figures that I can get some money out of. I have an extra signed Danhausen Micro Brawler, hoping I can get a good amount out of that. Not a crazy amount, just maybe 100, if not more. I have a spare Hatchet Man pendant that I bought back in 2019. And then when ICP came to AIW, I bought a brand new one. The other one that I had was used. Not in the greatest condition. It's not in horrible condition, but just not the greatest. And I know I can get some money back from that. And this is a dilemma for me. I mentioned it on Fully Posable, which, side note, I forgot to mention it last week. If you don't listen to the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, I mean, I suggest you to. It's the end plugs, but recently Kenny from the Mystery Men was on an episode. So if you're friends of this podcast, I highly recommend you go out and listen to that one. And I was on it like about a month ago too. So there's that whole thing. And on that episode, I actually talk about, I have the crowdfunded New Generation Ring and the Macho Man that came with it, and neither of them are open. I've had the ring since literally right before I recorded Fully Posable, and I want to sell it. I'll make a profit on it, but like originally when they came out, people were buying on eBay for like $800. And right now that is a lot of money for my cause. Unfortunately, they're now going for closer to $400. And I'm like, is it just worth it to keep it for right now and then hold on to it till later and then maybe try to sell it? I don't know. Or just keeping it like it's a collector thing. And like all along the line that too, for those who don't know, I collect vinyl. I'm not a crazy collector, but like one of the parts of my collection is even before I had a record player, I was buying ICP albums on vinyl, especially and mainly the Joker's cards. My favorite album is The Great Malenko. There are two versions of The Great Malenko out. There might be a third, but there's at least two that the vinyl is, or the cassettes, two vinyls, that each in the set are one color. One's green and the other one is red. Those things are going for like $200 each, if not more. And it's like, as a collector, and that being my favorite Joker's card, it's like, do I sell it? Do I sell one? But eventually I'm going to want to, like, I'd probably want to go out and rebuy it because there are, of the original Joker's card set, for those who care, I'm missing three. And I think one of them is not that expensive. No, I'm missing three. Hell's Pit, I think, is the one that I can get pretty cheap, but the Wraith of Shangri-La and Riddlebox both came out years upon years ago. I don't know, remember the exact release, but like they're just like regular black vinyl. And when I started buying ICP vinyl back in 2019, they were, you know, commanding a few hundred dollars then. So, and I still want them. I'm just not actively looking for them because I doubt I'm going to come across them. But anyway, going on a whole different tangent here, but mainly if you can donate, please do. Trying to hit that $1,500 goal. And I'll admit, like, I think $1,500 is probably a little on the high side, but I did it just to make sure I can get everything covered. And if I can get this whole thing covered, I think I said it last week, you know, I'll throw together a vlog of the trip and throw it on YouTube. But I really need this to get funded, or definitely get way closer to the goal than we are now. So fingers crossed on that. All right. Into the review. I didn't do any of the meet and greets. I wasn't huge on the Nasty Boys. I liked them a little, but I never went crazy for them. And I didn't feel like, you know, if there was a need for me to meet them. And the same thing with Jimmy Hart. Like, I think Jimmy Hart's a cool get. But yeah, I was fine with not meeting them. Didn't do any other meet and greets. Didn't do a Delirious meet and greet. Didn't do a Mandy Leon meet and greet. Side note on that, though, I didn't realize Mandy Leon is following Wrestling Cheers, and I don't know why. I don't know if I tweeted something or she saw something. I don't know. I get amazed when I see that. But there are wrestlers out there that when I follow them that I will get a follow back within some amount of time. Some it's like within the day. Some it might take them a while, but it's, I don't know. It makes sense when it's like regular independent wrestlers. People who haven't necessarily been on the same stage as Mandy, because she doesn't need to follow Wrestling Cheers, but she does. And I noticed that while live tweeting. A cool thing about the first half of the show for me is where we were sitting, it was right by where the Nasty Boys and Jimmy Hart were sitting. And they didn't go in the back at all that I could tell, like during the first half. They were still signing autographs, taking pictures, anybody who came up, but they were also talking about the matches and stuff. I'll get into one particular comment when the match comes up, but there's another cool thing that happened. And I do want to say it was maybe during the first match or second match, but where it placed on the card, it doesn't matter. It's like a little kid came up to the gimmick table, and I think he might have been just like looking at stuff, but he didn't have any money. So they signed an autograph for this kid for free. They're like, it's on us. And I think that is really cool. You know, the only people that knew about it were people that were in earshot of it happening. It was there, and you know, anybody that they told. But it's one of those things that's not going to get like reported. It's not going to like necessarily help their image, big picture stuff. But, you know, that's cool. Especially when it happens to a kid, anything like that in professional wrestling where, you know, can really benefit a kid. Like, that's cool. Like, I think back to Bret Hart and, you know, his shades that he gave out. Like, I never got one. Didn't even buy a pair until I was an adult and he remade them. But I didn't get one at the merch table. Didn't get any through the catalog or whatever. Didn't. And I wasn't somebody in the front row to get one. But, and I didn't even know anybody who got a pair front row. But I can only imagine that for all of those kids, you made their day. Some of them, you probably made a wrestling fan for life, or even a fan of you, for a Bret Hart, for life, because they got to be one of the few. And this isn't necessarily, I feel like, on the same line of like something like that, because that's, to me, that feels like a much bigger deal with Bret Shades. But a little kid who wrestling is somewhat new to him, I have no idea how long he'd been watching, but I just figured, like, from my time frame of like, he's new. It could be a handful of years. It's still new. And he got to experience that at such a young age that I think that's awesome of the Nasty Boys. So with all that out of the way, let's break down this card. There was a pre-show match. I missed part of it because I went out. Do you believe I went out to the parking lot to get some food? And I think the match had just kind of started right as I got back in the building, or they were coming out right around the time I got back in the building. It was Tyson Riggs versus Sam Holloway, and it was Sam Holloway picking up the victory via pinfall. No thoughts on that one, but let's move on to the actual card. We started things off with Cisco Silver versus Shaw Mason. And I said, in their first match, I saw a different side of Cisco that I had never seen before. And I was hoping we would get that same side again, but we didn't get it in Kent. We kind of got the Cisco that I'm used to. This was that other side. A little more arrogant, no fun to be had, very competitive. I don't know if this was better than the first match or not. If the first match was better, I'm going to say it was at least close. But what a feud for these two. To start off with, both of them coming into AIW. Shaw being a brand new student and Cisco someone who's been around a few years. Number of years, I don't know the exact count off my head, maybe 5. But recently starting to come to AIW and finally debuting with AIW. I think it's funny, when I first saw Shaw, I thought, and not saw him in the ring, but like saw his promo picture, I'm like, I thought this guy was going to be a dick. And it was between, you know, that like yelling facial expression and the medals around his neck. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be like an accomplished athlete and he's going to be cocky. And he's not accomplished. Yes, but not cocky, at least not yet. And Cisco, like I said, as a guy who I've only ever seen the fun loving side of him, I think IW, that's not Cisco. So I'm enjoying this, and I hope they get an Odeon match. I would really like to see any more from both of them. I don't want this to be over. And there was a lot from Cisco heckling the crowd back, talking shit. And unlike the time before, he had a little bit to back up afterwards because Cisco won after referee stoppage. So Shaw didn't give up, submit, get pinned, counted out, nothing. Like, still lost, but maybe there's a little dignity there. So if there's a rubber match, you know, I'm expecting an intense Shaw Mason. All right, let's move on to the next one. So this whole thing wasn't in my tweets that I am going off of, but if you watched, you know. If you were there, you know. But so yeah, Josh Prohibition come out. And some brand new wrestling gear. So it's like, okay, you know, J-Pro's calling somebody out. We're going to set up some sort of match right here for J-Pro. Calls out PME. Well, PME comes out. You know, there's some talking back and forth between them. And in my head, I'm like, well, PME's got another match tonight. I mean, they have a match tonight already. There's no way this is happening now. But who comes out to kind of even the numbers to make sure that PME isn't outnumbering J-Pro? Well, it's none other than M-Dog 20, Matt Cross. Yes, we have a reunion of Euthanasia. Basically, also to M-Dog, also with some new gear that matches J-Pro. I then noticed they both say wrestling is forever. So kind of puts two and two together there. I wish I would have noticed that first, because I'd have been like, oh, like he's going to do something with M-Dog. But anyway, basically, this match is just a tease for something later on down the road. I'm going to guess Hell on Earth, but could be something else. Oh, you got Euthanasia out, both in brand new gear. You know, they want a match. So they put out an open challenge for, you know, anybody in the back that wanted to test themselves. Out comes members only. And there we get Euthanasia versus members only. I'd have to sit down and look at everybody members only have gone up against in AIW. For me, this is the top. Like, you're getting so much experience. You're getting two Cleveland legends. Like, the only thing close to Euthanasia is To Infinity and Beyond. And To Infinity and Beyond is mainly because they've been AIW tag champs so many times. So here we are in 2022 watching a Euthanasia match. And I was happy with, you know, the surprise return of legitimately one of my favorite tag teams in all of professional wrestling. And I enjoyed this match. It was Josh Prohibition pinning Calvin G. Lewis for Euthanasia to pick up the win. Let's move on to the next one. I guess two friends of the podcast here. Next up, we had Amanda Leon versus Jocelyn Navarro. Now, Mandy came out first, then Jocelyn. Mandy took the microphone and, like, really put over AIW and Jocelyn. And I thought, I was expecting for, like, some sort of, like, crazy turn to happen of, like, no, Jocelyn, you ain't shit. AIW ain't shit. Ohio ain't shit. No, like, I mean, she did attack Jocelyn, but, like, she didn't take back anything she said about AIW or Ohio. So that, I'm like, wow, that's surprising. Okay. This match wasn't very long, but I think we're basically just adding to this, like, story of Jocelyn going through so many opponents in AIW, beating some of them, and but, you know, at least going toe-to-toe with, for other people, like, no offense, Mandy, but, like, going against some legends. Lufisto, a.k.a. Thunder Rosa. You know, Jocelyn's really building a resume for herself, and, like, right now there isn't a defendable or winnable women's championship. So in a way, Jocelyn is becoming the women's championship, as in kind of making herself the champion. Like, granted, if she loses, not like she's lost a title, but in AIW, she's the woman to beat. Honestly, don't have too much to say about this match, but at least thought it was pretty cool. Oh, and there was, because I don't have any notes, and this show was a week and a half ago at this point, closer to 2 weeks by the time you're listening to this, but something that I've mentioned before in some other AIW reviews, and I put it out on Twitter, that, like, one of the best parts of a Jocelyn Navarro match is her niece. Sometimes she's front row, sometimes, you know, she's on the stage for, like, the Odeon, other times she might be in a balcony, but you're going to hear her, and you're going to hear her in a Jocelyn match. She's going to talk shit. And this was no different. There was actually a moment that there was a back and forth between Mandy and Jocelyn's niece. And I do believe, if I'm correct, Jocelyn's niece got a chop in on Mandy. It was a great little spot in the match. Yeah. And then it was Jocelyn pinning Mandy for the win. Let's move on to the next one. Next up, we had Filthy Tom Lawler versus Isaiah Broner. Kind of a rematch, if you will, from an earlier Odeon show. This one was I don't want to say typical Isaiah Broner match, like I'm complaining, but it's just that hard-hitting, fighting, ass-kicking match that you would expect from men. And it didn't. It was Isaiah pinning Filthy for the win, but yeah, it wasn't. This wasn't one of those, you know, 5-minute matches. I think it went like maybe closer to 15, maybe a little under. You know, Filthy Tom Lawler is someone in AIW who's been at the top of the mountain. Obviously, he was a New Japan Strong Champion recently. But Broner is going toe-to-toe. I don't know what we'll see of Isaiah Broner in 2022 the rest of the year, but 2023 should easily be a big year for him, whether in AIW or non-AIW. Especially in AIW, he should be walking out of some show a champion. I don't know. Intense, absolute, fuck. Since Jocelyn can't win a title, like, put her and Broner together. Have them become tag team champions. I think that would be a really cool thing. But nonetheless, dude just comes into AIW and maybe not dominating, but taking it to the next level. He's either winning matches or has the toughest competitor on the card. On this night, I don't know if it was the toughest competitor, but he was one of them, and technically Broner had both. And like I said, Broner pinned Filthy for the win. Let's move on to the next one. Next up, we had the Bitcoin Boys versus To Infinity and Beyond. Can't remember if the crowd was split or in the Bitcoin Boys' favor. I want to say it was in the Bitcoin Boys' favor. Obviously, with the Bitcoin Boys, it was going to be a good match. You add in To Infinity and Beyond, same thing. This is where it's going to kind of suffer because I don't have a co-host here. I don't remember as much from the match, but I remember like kind of like watching the dynamic of the Duke being there and seeing the kind of role he was going to play. As is any Bitcoin Boys match, the Duke is always going to be something to watch out for, and this day was no different. It was actually Mikey pinning Colin for the Bitcoin Boys to pick up the win. Let's move on to the next one. After that, we actually did go into intermission. Before that, there was kind of a moment with Steve Guy going over the Nasty Boys, them talking on the mic, putting over Ohio and the Richfield Coliseum. That was kind of cool because the Richfield Coliseum was a, I don't want to say a big part of my youth, but like I remember going to Disney on Ice there. I remember going to Ringling Brothers Circus there, as well as a WWE show, my first wrestling show. So that was fun. So then Steve does go to Pity City when it's all said and done. But we go to intermission. I didn't really do too much, but we came back from intermission with Wes Barkley versus the return of Eric Stevens. Now, I don't know how many people in this crowd, which this crowd might have been the worst Akron crowd we've seen. I think the worst actual one before this was the first one with Steamboat. And it's not that that was a bad crowd. I think just after that point, it got bigger. This felt like it was definitely lower than that. It could be because this was the beginning of October and you got October stuff going on. The played out factor of all the shows that, you know, we've had over the summer and the month before. Maybe the Nasty Boys and Jimmy Hart weren't as big of a draw as AIW thought they would be. And that's not faulting them, because like when I saw those names, even though I wasn't sure if I was going to do a meet and greet. Now, if I had some Jimmy Hart figures or Nasty Boy figures like already, or had the money to go buy some, which I really thought about doing, but I didn't. So just whatever it was, not a highly attended AIW show. So I don't know how many people there were really familiar with Eric Stevens, but you had a percentage of us who were faithfuls, you know, gave him the welcome back chant and, you know, made him feel at home. There was a lot of people, you know, rooting for Barkley. There's a lot of people rooting for Eric Stevens. There's a lot of people rooting for both of them. I was more rooting for Stevens because I'm really happy that he's back. And I want to enjoy this version of the ride, because this could be it. We've had so many times of him, you know, retiring, unretiring, all that kind of shit, just over and over. But yeah, I was in the corner of Eric Stevens this night. And I think Wes put up a really good fight. I think Wes made Eric look good and Eric made Wes look good. We are seeing in AIW right now, I think, the evolution of Wes Barkley. I think when everything's said and done and, you know, we're looking at what he's done, we're going to look at, you know, the past like 3 years or so and just like really notice more of the evolution because we'll have seen more. We're going to see more too. It was Eric pinning West for the win. After the match, they shook hands and hugged. Let's move on to the next one. Next up, we got PME versus Second Gear Crew of Matt Justice and One Called Manders. This match did ended up happening under intense rules. So there was a lot of crazy shit that happened. Because I know early in the match, you had PME just not necessarily wanting to get in the ring. We get intense rules, and you got PME not wanting any of the weapons in the ring. They end up losing that battle. And I think kind of like Wes Barkley, we are seeing more from PME, you know, since they joined Matt Cardona. Like, granted, I don't think that's an alliance that is still active, but we're seeing more out of both Philly and Marino. Because, like, at one time, I couldn't imagine, like, rooting against PME. But here I am doing it. And they're doing it so well because, you know, PME was a group that I've talked about for a long time that they would debut somewhere. And I've watched it happen where the amount of people that probably knew who PME was a very small number. But them coming out to Phil Collins, like, people weren't into it by the time they entered the ring. So just the walk out through the entrance, around the ring, and in the ring. Just took that little bit of time. And they were easy to love. Now, this comes off so easy for the both of them. And I'm actually really proud of how well they've done it. And when you're testing yourself going up against Manders and Justice, like, that's fucking insanity. It was Marino pinning Manders for PME to pick up the win. Let's move on to the next one. Next up, we had Alec Price versus Derek Dillinger for the AIW in Tench Championship. And I think Alec Price is a great fit in AIW. We've kind of heard on the AIW podcast that it sounds like we're going to see Alec Price more. Now, I don't know if that's like a short-term thing or, you know, expect to see Alex as much as possible or Alec as much as possible. Of course, going up against, like I said, Derek Dillinger, you know, and it's pretty much what you expect from Derek Dillinger in this match. Obviously, Ziggy's there, going to help him out as much as she can. Derek's always going to be ruthless in matches. This was no different. My big question that I'm kind of wondering is, you know, who's going to be that person to beat Derek? Now, that's kind of the mindset I have within professional wrestling, and I've had people tell me, like, I shouldn't. But it's not like I'm waiting for it to end. I'm looking at something like just the combination of Derek and Ziggy. Well, who's going to be the person to take that title from him? Because right now, it doesn't seem like anybody. But it's going to be somebody, whether it's next month, next year, 2024, like, he's going to lose a title. But right now, still champion. Pinned Alec Price to retain the title. Now I hope we see Alec Price in another scrambles match. One thing that I do remember of the match, because, like, this is the one that, like, went everywhere, but there was a moment where Derek's in the crowd and Alec does this jump over the barricade, and, like, the way he clears it, it was like poetry. It was just smooth. I don't know how to describe it. It was fucking great. All right, let's move on to the main event. Next up, we had Delirious versus Joshua Bishop for the AIW Absolute Championship. Kind of like a normal Joshua Bishop match, but I'm kind of wondering, is this the closest we've seen in AIW to a comedy match from Joshua Bishop? Like, it wasn't full on, but when you have a guy like Delirious, it can lean that way just a little bit. So for me, this was like a little bit more of a fun match, but still, you know, like, chairs getting used and shit. And the only thing I could say is, Joshua Bishop pinned Delirious to retain the title. After the match, gets a little interesting. An open challenge into the galaxy, you know, for this show, and Delirious is the one who answered. Well, he's going to do it again for Hell on Earth. And, you know, anybody out there who wants to face him, step right up. In my head, I initially went with Cardona. I figured, you know, we're going to get the rematch. It's going to be at Hell on Earth, blah, 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 blah. So I didn't necessarily expect anybody to answer it on this day, kind of like Delirious didn't, you know, answered at the Winchester. But this time it was answered, and it was answered by Eric Stevens. So at Hell on Earth 17, we're going to see Joshua Bishop versus Eric Stevens for the AIW Absolute Championship. A part of me wants to see Eric walk out champion. Another part of me wants to see Bishop walk out still champion. No matter what, I want to see Eric Stevens show up at WrestleRager, whether he's wrestling or not. Nonetheless, that's where we end it. Hell on Earth 17, Bishop versus Stevens for the AIW Absolute Championship. And that ends the show. Hope I didn't bore you too much. Sorry I don't have as many like great thoughts on everything that happened because it's not as fresh in my mind. And yeah, it is what it is. And this was the last Akron show of the year. Hopefully 2023 in Akron starts off way better than it ended. At least with Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose, desirewrestlingcheers@gmail.com. Like I said earlier in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe your Everless's Fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, wrestlingcheers.podbean.com. And all of those links are in the show notes and under the Linktree link. Check out our podcast friends such as Pod Van Dam, Super Fantastic Podcast, It's Evolution Baby, The IndieCast, Sobros Network, Biff Radio, GameWorks Podcast, Powerbomb Jitsu, Spotlight Series, Fully Posable, Positively Pro Wrestling, IWTV Guide, If You Catch My Grift, At Odds With Wrestling, Marks With Mics, X-Over, The Powell Driver Podcast, Tornado Tag Podcast, The Uncut Wrestling Podcast, This Ends at Prom, and Porch Talk. And check out our other non-podcasting friends such as The Mystery Men, Red Line Radio, Mouse's Wrestling Adventures, VHS Party Tonight on Instagram, Danger Zone Video in Joliet, Tennessee, Heart of Gold, Toy Hio Toy Show, Time Capsule Toys, Stay Tough, Smokin' Jay's Barbecue, JCP Designs, Midwest Territory, Southern Underground Pro, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And go Guardians. Later.
It's the Wrestling Cheers. Get up on your feet. Brightening your day in the middle of the week. And you gotta love the show. Yeah, you know it holds a title for the best podcast. Talking wrestling in Ohio. Finishing a cold one. Take a load off. We ain't all about the prohibition like Josh. So we cheers. And then we sit back. Other shows are in the trash, kinda like they Nick Stapp. Like the name is Matt Justice, wearing all the gold. Wrestling Cheers is coming to a close. The number one podcast going in the game. And one day everybody's gonna know the name. It's the Wrestling Cheers. This is Platinum Max, signing off. Ohio, good night. The world, good night. We love you. We'll see you next week.